May it please the Court, Armin Skolmanowski for petitioners Karim and his wife. This Court should grant petitioners petition for review since the BIA abused its discretion in not reopening proceedings based on changed country conditions, changed circumstances.
Because?
Well, in this case, what makes this case different than the previous case that petitioners had is that here it talks about the Indonesian government almost abdicating its responsibility to the radical Muslims. And we do list on in our brief, and the record shows page 48 and page 106, 107, is that over the years there's been a centralization of the power. They've given it to these small cities that have established Sharia law. They've also have an increased form of radical Islam that's taking over politically speaking. There's one famous council of the Ummahs who basically, even during Suharto's time, was around. They were there just to control the Muslim teachings. Now they have actually become a lot more radicalized, influencing the government. So,
and I appreciate your argument, and you don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to cut in a little bit right here. It seems to me that since Sale, 386 Fed Third, we've really recognized that the ethnic Chinese in Indonesia are a disfavored group. We've really said that.
Yes.
And then I read the 2008 country report, and it says, and it's in the record, instances of discrimination and harassment of ethnic Chinese continued to decline compared with previous years, especially since the passage of the 2006 citizenship law, which made it easier for ethnic Chinese to become citizens. So if I look at what we have here, and I look at the country report, which is the 2008 country report, I'm having a tough time seeing how I can really say, based on general conditions, that there's been a change of conditions. I mean, frankly, my biggest worry is that the BIA doesn't discuss the declaration about his individual circumstances, which I'm going to talk to the government about. But as to the general conditions, which it seems to me our last case law deals with, it isn't like it at all. The country report says it's decreasing, very much decreasing since 2006.
Yeah, and I mean, petitioner's previous case, I mean, was similar in the sense that, you know, but there was more like an issue with the Muslims, like in his community, and problems with that. But I agree. I mean, it's still, and as Sahel says, I mean, it waxes and wanes. I mean, you have moments where, like, for example, and now they allow, you know, the Chinese New Year celebration, which wasn't allowed 10 years ago. But many people say, well, that's just window dressing. They're just, you know, want to show the world that, yeah, we have some, you know, Chinese holiday we celebrate. We allowed some Chinese schools. We even got some Chinese general, ethnic Chinese general in the army. But in reality, you know, it's not that way for the common person, as well as for Christians. You know, in this case, once again, it's you know, he's saying here that the changes are the government actually, you know, becoming more radicalized through the influence of these radical Muslim groups. You know, it's a democracy now. I mean, basically, they have to cater to these groups to get power or keep power, and that's what they're doing here. And that's a change. Before it was one guy, one Suharto, the general. He was in control. He said whatever he wanted to say. This democracy actually might have changed that, and that's what we're saying is the changed circumstance.
Well, let me ask you this. I appreciate that you've argued all this about the national conditions all the way through. Did you ever exhaust before the government, either in your before the BIA, either in your brief or any place else, what statements in the declaration supported the allegations of changed circumstances?
Well, as the court knows, I mean, when a motion to reopen exists, I mean, in this situation, motion to reopen based on changed circumstances, it's about country conditions. It's not personal circumstances. The personal circumstances involve only individualized harm. So it's a different statute than if you're in court like the other previous case was, where, you know, you have personal situation, personal circumstances. In this motion to reopen, personal circumstances do not necessarily apply. It's country conditions. However, the court, as in Malti suggests, you could look at some of the personal circumstances to see if there's individualized harm. We did say in the brief, we said that, you know, this is based on the new evidence that petitioner has, they would suffer future persecution. You know, it's a one-page declaration that the BIA refers to.
So you're suggesting that in this particular situation, the individual circumstances do not apply? Is that what you're saying?
The individual circumstances, they are different than with a motion to reopen a brand new case. They don't apply as they do when they're in court or when they have their asylum pending. So it's mainly a changed circumstance in country conditions. However, you could look at the personal circumstances to see if there's any kind of individualized harm. And that's what he said here. Well, my sons were attacked, or, you know, they were robbed, or, you know, we have some problems. My brother is being extorted. You know, that's in this one-page declaration he has. And that's the new evidence he has from Indonesia. And that's something that he would consider to be, you know, his personal situation. But, I mean, according to the statute, mainly the basis must be on changed country conditions, and the evidence must be material, and normally it's not personal circumstances.
Do you have any?
I do. I want to follow up, because I thought in the motion to reopen, the petitioner argued that he was offering additional evidence in the form of a declaration and materials, and that in light of that evidence, he can establish that he had a reasonable likelihood of meeting the statutory requirements demonstrating well-founded fear of persecution. So that issue was raised, wasn't it, in the
motion? Right, it was raised. And many times the BIA, if there's nothing there, if there's nothing personal in a motion to reopen, they'll say, well, you know, nothing's changed, and plus, you know, nothing will happen to you anyway. And you know, all he has to show, actually, is that there's a reasonable possibility that he would be eligible for relief. And in this situation, yeah, I mean, he did say that, well, you know, by the way, I contacted my siblings and my son, and that they did say that there were some problems. And that goes to this. But whether or not that's persecution, I believe that's something, you know, it would be decided by the immigration judge, I believe. Because it's only one sentence. Well, he got robbed, or they got extorted. You know, it's hard to say if that's past persecution, that's future persecution. But I think that, is there a reasonable possibility that he would be eligible for it? Yes, we believe that. And I think if it went back to the judge, they could look at that. They could ask him on the stand, or they could say, could you please explain more detail? There could be more evidence submitted later on, you know, whether or not what happened to his kids is persecution.
So it seems to me what you're really saying to me, if I understand it, is your motion to reopen and your brief to the BIA really need not address the declaration itself?
No, it needs to address
the declaration. I mean, it seems to me that one can prove these changed circumstances either by the country conditions themselves, which is where our latest case went, or by individual circumstances, and yet it doesn't seem to me that anything in the motion or the brief talked about the individual circumstances at all.
Well, the motion, once again, maybe it wasn't specific, but in a broad sense, it talked about the introduced evidence regarding recent events in Indonesia, personal event, which confirm respondents' fear that they would have persecution in the future if they were to return to Indonesia. Also talks about circumstances have changed sufficiently so that respondents, personally, will now suffer persecution. It is clear from the evidence that respondents would be persecuted if they were to return to Indonesia. That's all based on, you know, the one-and-a-half-page declaration that petitioner made.
Thank you.
To the court.
I do have one follow-up question, though. The declaration lists a series of events, and many of the events, other than the two attacks on his son, had dates. Was there any evidence presented to the BIA that as to when these events transpire? Were they events that were considered already in the prior case?
Well, the letter, there's a letter from the son, and it's dated July 15, 2009, and he talks about April 27th. So the son's letter was not clear, but it's assumed that it happened that year, 2009. So that is assumed.
What about the other events? When did they occur?
The brother writes a letter. Actually, the brother actually says that the son was beaten. He mentions the date, 2009. Other events, once again, they date the letter, but they're not specific. And I think that's something, unfortunately, you know, they're not here to testify in the United States itself, and they write a letter and they say what happened, and they weren't as clear as they could have been.
So. Okay. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Counselor, we'll hear from the government.
Good morning, Your Honor. Anthony Norwood for the government this morning. I want to point out that just to start, and obviously the court is aware of this, this is a motion to reopen, and this court has already affirmed that this petitioner did not establish a claim for asylum. Now, addressing the court's questions about individualized risk, the petitioner did argue in his brief to this court that there was an error of law because the Board of Immigration Appeals, according to petitioner, did not pay enough attention to the individualized incidents that he claimed occurred in 2009. From my reading of the record, there's one incident. It occurred on April 27th, 2009. That was his son, Sunni, who claims that he was robbed. We don't know, we don't really know that what the basis of that incident was, that it was persecution or that it was simply a robbery, which is...
In fact, it seems to me the petitioner is really arguing that because the BIA did not discuss that declaration and the events therein, that I should remand. That it's abuse of discretion.
That's the way I read the argument, but it doesn't seem that was the
argument. It doesn't seem that was the argument today.
That was the argument that just made. But I submit that the BIA went further into the record than the petitioner's motion to reopen.
Well, but you wouldn't disagree with me that the BIA went right through and said what it looked at and what the documents were that were important, and the declaration's not there.
Well, the BIA mentioned an incident. It didn't specifically say Sonny's letter, but the BIA does mention that an incident occurred. And
But in the letter, I think the letter and the declaration mentioned two incidents, and the BIA only mentioned one. Doesn't that suggest that the BIA didn't consider the declaration?
No, Your Honor.
Because the other incidents are also mentioned in letters that are not in that
but
particular.
There's one specific instance, and the other instance are vague, as noted this morning by petitioner. It's our argument that if you look at the totality of this, the board did look at the record. We have to assume, we give deference.
Board, one time, often when I read the board, they say, we've considered all the evidence, and we now make this determination. And we have some case law that would say, when you make that general declaration, that's enough. But they didn't even say that here.
But they do refer to it. They do refer to an incident. It's not the strongest board decision. It's specifically laying out the incidents. But I point out to you, my argument to you is the petitioner's claim is not strong. There's the motion to reopen says incidents. The motion to reopen does not the motion itself does not say what incident. You have to look at the Sony's letter and what's below that to see the the robbery on April 27th, and then you go even deeper into it to see what's alleged to have happened to the other son on the way to school and the protection schemes that his brothers talk about.
Well, my worry is that I can go through here, and they have some evidence in their opinion that is the country reports. They have evidence in their opinion, which is the letters from the son, but they don't really talk about the declaration, and there are events in the declaration that are really not discussed here, as my good colleague has suggested. And then they say the remaining evidence. Well, if this is all the evidence they looked at, which is what they've got here, I'm still having a tough time understanding why I shouldn't send it back and be sure they put the declaration involved.
Your Honor, because it's a very heavy burden here to establish grounds for a motion to reopen after this court has already found asylum. And if we give deference to the board and we look at petitioner's motion to reopen, that doesn't, petitioner's not more, any more specific. It's clear that the board looked at the totality of the evidence. The board does not have to, as the cases say, the board does not have to write an exegesis and list every incident when the petitioner doesn't list every incident in his motion to reopen. If we give deference to the board, if we assume the board has done its regular job, I am arguing that the board does not abuse its discretion, and the board's decision should be upheld. If I may, I'd like to argue briefly about the 2008 country conditions and about the newspaper articles and the reports that are in the record supporting the motion to reopen. If you look at those documents and read the totality of those documents, for example, if you look at the National Geographic article, what these articles say is that there is Islam, it's rising a little bit in Indonesia, but the point of these articles is Sharia law is not going to take over. According, these are opinion articles, these are newspaper articles or National Geographic, but they suggest it's moderate Islam is going to prevail in Indonesia. Sharia law is not going to take over because it's such a disparate country. And the New York Times calls it a moderate, easygoing brand of Islam. A more tolerant Islam is confronting extremism. If you look at the totality, if you read those documents that support the motion to reopen, I just want to point out they don't support petitioner's argument that Sharia law and extreme Islam is going to take over in Indonesia.
What is your best argument, if you have one, that the petitioner did not exhaust their claim of changed circumstances before the BIA?
I don't think I have an argument that they didn't exhaust changed circumstances. All right.
So you can see they exhaust?
They argue changed circumstances in the motion to reopen. They say incidents and they say changed circumstances and then they quote the law and they don't. There's no specific discussion of Sony or robbery or this or that or anything else. They mention the issue.
So the government does not claim they did not exhaust.
No. Okay. Thank you, Sean. If there are no further questions.
None.
No questions here. Thank you.
No, thank you.
All right. I think he's over, isn't he? I think we've heard your argument. I think we'll submit the case. Thank you, Counselor. This is case 10-70951, Kareem versus Holder, which we're now submitting. Judge Gould, would you care for a break?
Well, either now or after strike point, whatever you prefer.
Why don't we do that now and give you a break? So the court will be in recess for 10 minutes. All rise.